Moncrief on News Talk.
Now we're on to something quite different to that. As you know, a few recent tragic cases have highlighted the fact that the Republic of Ireland lacks a certain variety of rescue dog, those trained to search for dead bodies, otherwise known as cadaver dogs. There are four in Northern Ireland. We're joined now by Rafe O'Connor, Chief Training Officer with the Search and Rescue Dog Association Ireland North. Rafe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So you have four cadaver dogs. Could you tell us something about how they're trained?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we're a registered charity that's involved in specialist search and rescue since 1978. And we have a number of dogs, but our cadaver dogs specifically are trained only to find deceased persons. And we use all the research across the world now says that you're best using human blood, so it's deceased blood and archaeological bone, which we have licensed from the university to hold those materials. And then we hide those particular at different stages of decomposition inside buildings, outside buildings, under the ground and surface level and all of those places in different terrains. And then just teach the dog through repetition to operant conditioning. And they will usually do a passive indication, they sit or lie down at that scent source and then they get their tennis ball. So these are dogs with high drive and that's the only scent that they're trained on. So they would never be asked to find a live person. It would only be deceased, unfortunately.
Because I suppose when if it's a cadaver situation, you can't necessarily have something that belonged to the deceased person that they can search for. So it's more kind of a general thing that they're trained to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all dogs have powerful noses and obviously anything that is scent, a dog can find that. So in terms of clothing, no, it's the deceased smell that would be, you know, predominantly as the science of it is the volatile organic compounds, so it's the VOCs that give off, and that's mostly of decayed blood and bone and so forth.
Yeah,
that's what I'm finding.
And are there particular breeds of dog that are better at this?
Do you know what? It's an ongoing debate in the search dog world. There's many breeds, and in fact, a lot of mixed breeds are ideal as well. You know, you have your border collies, which is my favourite. You've got your labs, your springers, your shepherds. Any of those type of dogs, sprockers, or any of the mixes, really, are ideal. And then, obviously, we have a scent-specific dog for trailing, which is a new kind of discipline, which is a human scent only, and they would be the hound dogs, you know, the big bloodhounds, the coonhounds, those type of dogs. So technically, any dog that's got a high drive, that's really driven, that's the type of dog that you want to be working with as a search dog handler.
Yeah, and is it more challenging for those dogs, given that the corpse might be buried underground, or you know, there'll be a barrier between them and finding the corpse?
Yeah, well, look, you know, historically over the years, we've been involved in many missing person searches and legacy of assisting, you know, peace, the police, north and south, for historical searches. It's a very interesting question. There is challenges, absolutely. There's massive challenges. So it's the depth. For example, if a body was under the ground, it's the depth that they're down. Obviously, the nearer they are to the surface, potentially the easier. Not so much that it's easier, but it's less difficult. Mm. The deeper they are, the more difficult it is. Equally, for example, there would be restrictions with cadaver dogs. We would never search for a deceased person in, you know, a refuge collection waste site, because there's so many human waste products in there. So that could also confuse the dog, because you don't know what they're potentially indicating on. There would also be effluent or slurry would also be challenging, depending on where that search area is and also if it's safe. So we have to think about the safety of the dog as well when you're working.
Okay, yeah. And typically when you're brought out, especially if it's someone who may have died some years ago, does it tend to be the case that an area might be excavated a little bit to make it less difficult for the dog to locate where the corpse is?
Yeah, well, equally, you know, if we have an investigation team that we're working with, they would be they would have all the intelligence in terms of where they need us to search, and that's sometimes what they would do. Equally, if it was a bigger area and they wanted to put the dogs through briefly to get a reaction, what we would do is with metal bars, like probe holes. So we would put probe holes into that area about a couple of meters apart. It can take a few hours to do that if it's a big enough area, and then we'd leave that settle. So if there's any scent coming up from beneath the surface, we'd try and get those probe holes down at least half a meter, a couple of feet anyway. And that would allow then scent to come up to the surface, which would help the dog then if it's a fairly packed area. Equally, if we have to extract a couple of meters or a couple of feet of soil, that's equally very beneficial as well. So they're a search tool in a full operation of other activities that's going on sometimes in those cases.
And so if the dog detects something, the dog just sits down. Is that the reaction they're trying to give?
Well, some of our dogs are trained to sit, some are trained to lie down, and we have two that are trained to bark. So it depends on the national standards that we are working towards. Some of those indications are better than others. For example, if we have some of our cadaver dogs are also trained to find deceased persons underwater. So they sit at the bow of the boat. And the best indication for that is by barking when they cut across the scent cone. Now, not all our cadaver dogs are trained to be on the boat. So the indication is very much specific to their skill set. But either way, the handler will know by their reaction and what they're trained to do, what is given a positive indication. We will also put a second dog in to confirm that. And then we can go back to our team and say, look, we've had two hits here in this area. This is a very strong possibility. This is a likely area.
And when it's in water, is that even more difficult again for the dog?
Yeah, absolutely, because you have different currents as well. If it's a running water course or if it's a lake, and the temperature and also the length of time that a body has deceased, they will give off natural gases. And if it's colder or warmer will also depend on the decay and there's a whole science to this in terms of the breakdown of organic compound. But essentially, we have had numerous search successes with our drowned victim search dog, Fern and Nelly, over the years, where they're able to pinpoint a deceased person in water who's drowned within a 25-metre square area, which actually narrows down if it's a massive lake for a dive team to go down and extract. And that's the benefit of using dogs, because they can be used very quickly in searches and pinpoint areas.
Yeah. How long does it take to train them to do all this?
Excellent question. I suppose it all depends. we're all volunteers as a charity, so we have full-time jobs. If you're doing this full-time, a cadaver dog could be trained in 22 weeks if you're at it full-time. We take about a year before we present that dog to the national body. And we do a lot of training outside of our day jobs to make sure that we're at that standard. So we're constantly at it every two or three days, every weekend, and we're repetition. All this is about operant condition, reinforcing the scent, reinforcing the reward, working in bigger search areas, working the dog for longer. They're all part of the whole assessment process. But when we present that dog then for training, once they're trained, we constantly have to keep repeating it. So the thing with dog and dog training is you have to keep them fully commissioned and active. You have to keep at it and keep training and keep challenging them.
And all the dogs that you have, not just the cadaver dogs, when they're not on duty, where do they live in people's homes?
Yeah, so I have three search dogs that are all border collies, and they live in my kitchen at home. And I have a very supportive wife, my Claire. Yeah. So we have five in total, and they live at home. They live with me, and I own them, and I handle them. But they essentially live with us, and we look after them, and we love our dogs. I mean, we're really passionate about what we do, and it's able to help give closure to families for searches or to find a missing person, and that's why we do it, really, you know.
Yeah, indeed. Actually, on that point, you just mentioned it there. Is the length a person has been dead for, is that a factor?
Do you know, because there's a whole science, this and our founder, chairman, and our president, Dr. Neil Powell, done a lot of research in this area. Scientists would give you various sort of compatibilities, what's more effective and what's less effective. I suppose the bottom line is this. Dogs can be very effective for finding deceased persons, but everything is dependable on the conditions that you're working in and the temperature and the length of time and all of this. We work with our archaeological human bone, so the longer somebody's deceased, technically, is no different to the dog. If somebody's deceased 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 15 years, technically does not make any difference. That dog will find that human remains if you put them across the scent source. That's the reality. And that's what we've proven. And we know that from our work.
That's fascinating. Rafe, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Rafe O'Connor is Chief Training Officer with the Search and Rescue Dog Association Ireland North. Rafe, thanks very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.